Good morning, Michigan golfers. It's time for a brand new season of Finding Fairways, a locally produced Michigan golf show featuring myself, Jerry Coyne, and our original host, Kevin Frisch, this week. As we get the golf season started, we'll have discussions with Ken Griffin, the director of golf marketing from Boyne, and Carl Rose, the president and owner of Carl's Golfland, one of the leading golf retailers in the nation. Kevin and I will discuss the upcoming Seminole Skins game, our first live golf event in a number of months. Excited to see DJ and Rory take on Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf on the very exclusive and private Seminole Golf Club, as well as the start date of the new PGA Tour in June. That's when we tee it up here for the first episode in 2020 of Finding Fairways. All right, well, we're here live in studio in Grayling, Michigan on WGRY with our inaugural 2020 Finding Fairways program with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch. Kevin, in our limited time, we can't go through the litany of your golf career, but you've been golfing.
I have. I've been out a couple times. You know, it's been pretty cold up here in northern Michigan, so there hasn't been a lot of opportunities. But I have been out there a couple times, and, you know, I walked the first time, which was
you
very
shot
exciting.
A sweet 73 at the Kingsley Club. That had to be a surprise.
It was. A couple of things I've been doing in the off season, including since COVID started, the amount of exercising and lifting weights. And I told my buddies the other day that this is the first time I've been able to walk Kingsley with no back pain in 13 years.
I mean, that's incredible. You know, I know a lot of people, for the most part, have stopped exercising or exercising less because they can't get into the gym and everything else. So it's good for you that you and Rachel have been working out together, your lovely wife. That's pretty cool.
Even before then, we were starting to do a little bit of working out, and then all of a sudden when the stay-at-home order came into place, you know, between P90X and the Max Trainer and the treadmill, it's been good, and I've lost some pounds
last
month, and looking to lose a few more, but it's been great. It's been fun to finally get out.
I figured all the weight I gained is really in my hair. So luckily for us here in northern Michigan, the governor changed her mind pretty quickly on golf carts, because even though some golf courses opened when you could walk, like you said, Kingsley Club can be walked. It's not an easy walk. I give you kudos for that.
Yeah.
Gaylord Country Club, pretty easy walk. Forest Dunes, obviously, is very walkable.
Right.
But we got the carts going. I just heard clarity. We'll hear a little later on in the interview, Ken Griffin. It's one to a cart unless you live in the same household with that person.
Yep.
But that's going to make for a good kickstart to the golf season.
It's really going to help out. It's there's been so much pent-up demand. People want to get out. People want to play golf. It's great to get outside. Social distancing is built in. Golf is a natural to be happening right now. And it's
we saw that in Florida with massive amounts of rounds in Arizona and Florida.
They never shut their golf courses down.
Yeah.
Up here, obviously, northern Michigan.
But they did in Texas and California. That I didn't understand some of that stuff.
You know what? Every governor is different.
Yep.
And that's all. You know, that's all we're going to say about that right now.
But yeah, no politics here on Finding Fairways.
You know, northern Michigan is America's summer golf capital. The resort destinations that are up here, the golf courses that are built, many of them aren't conducive to walking.
So, no, they're not. You know, you can't walk three tops.
You know, it's one not having carts is directly impacting their business.
Right.
And so when that cart thing got lifted, it's really helping. You know, golf courses are small businesses. Some of them are big businesses. But the bottom line is you need golf carts up here in our market to make money.
And let's face facts. We do this show in northern Michigan. Primarily, we are going to be focusing on the resort golf courses. We're going to look at a lot of national stuff. We're going to take a look at what's going on with the PGA Tour. If you're new to the program here, because we're on a whole bunch of new stations that have never heard Finding Fairways before, so welcome. If this is the first time that you've been able to hear Kevin and I, we have a spate of co-hosts that we do all year long. The great Dan Pohl, maybe the finest professional golfer out of the state of Michigan.
By the way, one of the things that I did over COVID, and I spent a lot of time Masters Week watching the old Masters from the 80s, And one of them that I watched was 82 with Dan Pohl. And I'm going to tell you right now, the shots he was hitting, his game back then, he's easily, arguably, the best golfer to come out of this.
Well, it's either professional golf, the you know, it's Cal Pete or Dan Pohl.
Right.
And we're lucky to have Dan as a part-time co-host, along with Joe Charles, who is the new head of golf instruction at Boyne. Joe used to be at Treetops. He's a great teacher. He's a great explainer of the game. So you'll get that kind of a look when Joe hosts the show. And then our other co-host is Don Holinsky, who's the director of golf operations at Forest Dunes, which is opening a very unique 9-hole, what is it, 11-hole par 3?
10-hole par short course slash par 3. Really cool, a lot of fun. You'll be able to walk it with a couple of clubs. 1 in 10 are unique. They crisscross.
So yeah, I walked the layout at the end of the season last year, and I know they don't have a firm open date yet because some of it needs to grow in.
Yeah.
And now with the social distancing, it might change the aspect, because I remember talking to Don last year in the program, and they thought they would send groups out in, you know, six-sums or eight-sums.
Right.
There's a bar right there, so they wanted to have it, you know, kind of shake off all the usual protocols and restrictions of golf. You can wear tennis shoes, you can wear t-shirts. They're going to have it's going to be a party out there.
It's going to be a little party in the backyard at Forest Dunes, if I want to reference that, with the gazebo there, and the first tee is right there by it, and the 10th green, and so it's going to be a great atmosphere in the evening. So that's going to be a cool addition to that place, and it's just going to continue to elevate Forest Dunes.
Yeah, and Forest Dunes opening their lodging up this week. So we will have Don Holinsky is going to co-host with me next week, and we'll get a bigger, brighter picture of what's happening with Forest Dunes. Nice. With the opening of the Loop, the original Forest Dune course, and this is really going to expand their profile as a Northern Michigan golf destination.
Yeah, they're elevating it even Midwest, regional, national. It's becoming a major player across the country with what they're doing there.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a great golf season, not only on the links here in Northern Michigan, but on Finding Fairways. And when we return here, we will have a conversation with Ken Griffin, the director of golf marketing at Boyne, who's opening under different circumstances, like all the golf courses are. And we'll find out what's new at Boyne and how to play those courses. That's right here on Finding Fairways. We're back here on Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne, Kevin Frisch in studio, and on the phone with us is Ken Griffin, the director of golf marketing from Boyne. Ken, obviously the most unusual golf season that we've ever encountered, but we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Tell us right now what's going on at Boyne and what you expect in the future.
Well, the first two weekends in May, we actually opened the Heather to walking only, and that was our initial target date to start opening courses. But luckily Thursday we were able to open 5 of our courses and, have a good outlook, forecast for the weekend.
Yeah. The weather looks nice. And, obviously, a few of the Boyne courses really not very walkable. So getting the carts back, Kevin, was a great step for Northern Michigan.
It really has. And Ken, can you talk a little bit about what you're doing with carts and how that operation is going to work there this weekend?
Because it is going to look a little different than maybe it has in the past. And what we're doing is following the National Golf Course Owners Association that's come up with a set of guidelines called Park and Play to minimize the amount of contact but still let you get out and enjoy the game and get out of the house and enjoy the game we all love. It's a contactless transaction, so you need to go online to book your reservation. And then we have a format there for you to either charge payment into, and our pros will get a hold of you, but it's contactless. You're not allowed in the shops right now. But the great news last week and what enabled us and the other Michigan courses to open up more courses was the ability to have carts. And from a cart standpoint right now, it's a limit of one person per cart unless you are living in the same household, and then you're allowed to have two people in the cart.
I'm glad you clarified that because I hadn't really heard that.
Right. There's been a lot of confusion out there in the marketplace for golf and what's going to happen with that. And I know some facilities are even toying around with putting shields in their carts when that time frame comes. I don't know if that's something you guys have been looking at, Ken, but all different things going on out there to try to make the situation the best it can be.
Ken, when you say contactless, so when I come up to Boyne, I'm going to play the Heather's course or whatever, drive up, put my bags on the rack, park the car, then I'm responsible to get my gear on the cart. Is that right?
Exactly. We do not have bag staff available to do that.
And by, via phone, or are we reserving tee times online already?
You need the tee sheet for this summer for us is always up about almost a year out. So
right.
We've got tee times on the book. So what you need to do is you need to make your reservation and get your round. You can't just walk into a golf shop and get around to golf based on any availability that we might have. It's always a good idea for us, but in this case, you really need to go online ahead of time. Go to boynegolf.com. We've simplified the process to get your round reservations, made the calendar a little bit easier to use, and actually have a way for you to set up a resort charge to do it that really simplifies the process.
That's great.
Ken, you know, with everything going on, obviously the past few weekends, and you had people, you know, scheduled on the books to come up for golf packages, and, you know, everything that I've been hearing in the industry is people want to come up. People want to play golf, and they want to get away, and I know you guys have been doing a great job in moving people, and just talk a little bit about that process, and if somebody's thinking about coming up on a golf package, and, you know, if there are some of the few that don't want to come up, but they want to move, or you have to move them, how are you guys doing that and handling that with your golfers?
Well, our reservation team or our pro, if it's a tee time, our pro staff is reaching out. And if it's a lodging reservation, our reservation team is reaching out a couple weeks ahead of time. We're giving you plenty of options, whether you want to move it, whether you want to cancel your lodging reservation. And same things with tee times. We're trying to be very adaptable right now and understand that some people are more willing to get out right away. Other people may have more concerns. And obviously, I think we're all learning to adjust to many different things going on. Not the way we're used to it in our lives, and we're trying to be as accommodating as we can, yet at the same time, provide a very safe, as safe as we possibly can, following all the protocols by the Center for Disease Control, the National Golf Course Owners Association. We need to remember that Arizona never quit playing golf. There have been golf courses in the U.S. that have been playing golf through this whole pandemic. So,
right.
You know, there are people that are working there. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can take a look at them and what protocols have they put in place. You know, we talked a little bit about the arrival, but you know, when you're out on the course, you're not going to see rakes laying in the bunkers. You're not good. We don't want you to touch the flags. The flags need to stay in. We've got, you know, the cutoff pool noodles that are sitting down in there. So the balls can't go clear down in the cup. Yet you still have a much purer putt. You know, originally they talked about raising the cup or making it so, or turning the cup upside down and putting the pin in. And the final resolve, we didn't have to invent this. It seemed like the best way to do it from those who've been out there were, you know, put something in that limits the depth that the ball can go in.
The noodles, you know, work great.
The noodles work great. You know, protocols. Instead of four guys putting to the hole, maybe the way you have in the past, maybe it's a better if somebody putts out, and then the next guy walks up and putts out. The next guy walks up and putts out. That's going to lead to less interaction in your foursome. And those are the things we need to think about. We still need to think of ways that we can do this the right way, to social distance. To
automatic two putts.
Right. And
Terry Sweeney's rule, it's just an automatic two putt no matter where you are on the green.
It reminds me of the...
Yes,
the Michelob, you know. The Michelob Ultra commercial, or the Michelob beer commercial, where they're going, that's good, pick it up.
Yeah.
Pick it up, that's good.
The President Clinton.
Right.
That's good, Mr. Right. President.
Hey, Ken, we've got some really exciting news to talk about, too, with the Boyne Golf Academy in the latest addition that you've just added there for your Director of Instruction.
So unfortunately, our Director of Player Development has moved on, and many of your listeners know it was Mike Fay. Fortunately, Mike stayed in the state. But, you know, sometimes change is good. And after a national search for the right candidate to lead Boyne Golf Academy. We were fortunate to find somebody in our own backyard in Joe Charles.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Joe's been around golf instruction for years, really understands the technology side of the game, and he's going to be a real added benefit to the Boeing Golf Academy.
He's a huge asset, and we're very excited for some of the new and different things.
No joke, he is huge. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, we're excited for some of the things that Joe's going to bring to the table and a slightly different look at how we were doing things, and we've got some great things coming up for the summer even.
Yeah, Joe is one of our co-hosts here on Finding Fairways, and I love his teaching style, and I really love the fact that he's my size. It's the first time I've ever taken a golf lesson with a guy as tall as I am, so he can understand some of the issues that our swing arcs have.
That's right.
Yeah, he's not a small guy.
No.
So, but he's a great guy.
He is. He's a wonderful guy. Very calm, collected. Doesn't force things on you. He takes what most of your natural swings are. He's really good at giving easy drills. I mean, I had the best golf season of my life last year, and I think a lot of it was to do just with a couple of small adjustments that Joe made in my takeaway.
Right. He's got a really good eye for it. He's got a really good eye for it, and you combine that with technology, and you're going to have some great instruction going on up there.
So, Ken, is the Boeing Golf Performance Clinics, all that is still kind of waiting for clarity, or right now you're looking at the 29th for that as well?
We're doing some instruction. The best thing to do is go to our website. There's a way to contact all three of our instructors there. And so we've got Joe Charles. We've got Jeff Roth back, who once again is a Michigan legend, as Dave McWarm, who both teaches and is a master club fitter. So there's some great opportunities there. You can reach out and contact those guys. And we are doing, we figured ways to make this work with social distancing and remotely as option, so that you can start getting in shape before you necessarily get as much. We've all missed a month of on course. This is an opportunity to get that swing back in shape before summer.
Well, I know they always use videography there, and plus the lessons are taped, and you can take those home or watch them on your phone and everything else. And it really can be a help when you're not receiving a lesson.
No, the mobile apps have become very popular. The mobile instruction online has been very popular. You have some good conversations with Joe when he comes on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to probably do one of the whole shows right from the Performance Center, so that's going to be exciting. Ken Griffin, Director of Golf Marketing, thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways. Happy to have the whole facility open for golf this weekend. BoeingGolf.com.
Correct. BoeingGolf.com. This weekend we've got 5 of the courses, and we're working on the schedule to get the rest of them opened up.
Outstanding. Ken, thanks a bunch, and we'll be talking with you soon here on Finding Fairways.
Thanks, Ken.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways. We're back here on Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne in studio with Kevin Frisch. And on the phone with me is a longtime friend, first time we've had Carl Rose from Carl's Golfland on Finding Fairways, one of the leading golf retailers in the business. And Carl, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for the campaign that you put together, Shank the Virus. It's really caught fire. You guys have raised a ton of money.
Yeah, pretty cool. I don't know if I had expectations, guys, but I wanted to try do something to help in any way we could, and I had a lot of great creative people around me that helped me kind of bring everything to fruition, and the idea of the hashtag Shank This Virus, and I go, well, geez, I'm not a real social guy. What do you do with that? Well, maybe we put it on a T-shirt. And you know what? We kind of had a slogan that was created, 18 beats 19, and we'll sell them for $18. And you know what? I said, yeah, I like that idea. So, every penny we get from the shirt goes to the charities, from penny one of $18.
Wow.
I'm paying the sales tax. I'm absorbing the sales tax. I'm absorbing the freight. And so every penny of that $18 is going to some great organization.
That's fantastic. And again, Carl's Golf,
tremendous stuff.
One of the top retailers in the country. It's on the short list of anybody for golf retailing. And you've been in the online golf business now, and obviously that's had to have spiked pretty heavily here in the past couple months. I know I ran on just a couple weeks ago and bought my 2 dozen Pro V1s.
Did you get a shirt?
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that was before the shirt came out, so I'm going to go back on and get the shirt for sure.
We appreciate that. Thank you. And once again, like I said, guys, we've, you know what, we wanted to take care of when we decided, okay, we're going to do some things. Kind of frontline responders was very, very important to us. And we're even kind of branching out from there a little bit, guys. We're kind of generating funds to share every day. It's called The Beacon in Houston. It's a homeless shelter and gathering place for food and this and that. And Houston's been hit very hard, and they're kind of the primary place for homeless people in Houston. And we just sent them a check for $25,000.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
The FDNY Foundation in New York, we just a $25,000 check to them. Gleaners, which is a food bank that we're all familiar with.
Sure, we know Gleaners, yeah.
You know what? Obviously, they're taking care of a lot of people.
Right.
So we try to, because it's been successful, other things that are important. You know, people that don't have a roof over their head, don't have a meal day to day. You know what? We're not done yet. Going to continue to take care of as many high-quality, you know, organizations as we can that are doing great things out there for brave souls that are on the front line at the hospitals, the Detroit Police Department through the Detroit Public Safety Foundation. We sent $25,000 to them. They were trying to figure out how to outfit the precincts and all their locations within the city with kind of some of these kind of safety barriers. And
right.
They were trying to raise $50,000 and became aware of it, and we sent them a check for $25,000.
It's tremendous, obviously, Carl. You guys are going above and beyond, not only with the campaign, like you said, paying the taxes, paying it from penny one out, but obviously the online reach of carlsgolfland.com has really lent itself to generate a lot of this money. So how has online sales been? I got to imagine with the COVID-19 thing and the numbers I've heard for golf in some areas, Florida had the best winter/spring that they've had in rounds of golf in a long time. Same thing with Arizona. So I've got to imagine that online sales have been pretty good for Carl's Golfland.
Yeah, but it's been interesting, guys. It's, you know what, when the second state order came out, that was not deemed essential. And so I closed it down for about a week. And then with, you know, a lot of smart people around me trying to interpret the laws, because the laws are not easy to interpret.
No.
I'm going to play by the rules. Well, you know what? I had freight coming in here every day since, you know, freight never stops. UPS shows up every day. FedEx shows up every day.
Right.
And we kind of basically, there were 12 people, and I being one of them, not necessarily packing or shipping product, a couple of office young ladies that were making sure that, you know, we're paying our light bills and things like that. But for almost 2 months, there was 12 of us in these walls. I have 180 people on the payroll right now.
Wow.
There was 12 of us that kind of tried to keep. After about a week, I opened, felt that I was within my legal rights to bring in a very skeleton crew, properly spaced, following all protocols, and kind of get the internet back up and running. But it was a challenge. You know, I mean, I probably have got, you know, on a normal day, 15, 16 people, you know, on the pick, packing, and shipping side of the internet business. There's probably, I employ on my internet team, maybe 30 people off the top of my head. And you know what? There was about 7-8 down there making it happen the best they could, working 12, 13-hour days, you know, just making it happen. And so, you know, I can't tell you how proud I am of those people, dedicated people they were. There was a lot of people that were willing to come in, but we didn't want to overpopulate the place. We wanted to be responsible, wanted to be safe. But you know what? So March wasn't great because we were closed for a little bit, completely, brick and mortar and online. But we fully were up for April, and we had a phenomenal April.
Well, that's great, fantastic,
great news,
Carl. And you know, assuming some things get lifted and businesses can start opening back up and a lot of pent-up golf demand out there, what are you doing at Carl's to prepare yourself for what we believe is going to be the floodgates opening of people wanting to get into your store, try clubs out, hit balls, get lessons, things like that?
Well, it's once again, guys, it's such a new and different time. I don't think I've ever worked this hard in my life.
I hear you, brother.
You know, I've enjoyed it. It's been a challenge. I've got people that are up to that challenge with me. But, you know, the things that you have to think about, this store is, you know, so squeaky clean. It's a little messed up because we're doing this kind of online and we haven't worried about, you know, presenting it like, you know, it would be presented if the doors were open. So we got some work to continue to do there, but it's been a challenge. And you know, the decisions that are made right now, I could make a decision and Lansing could say something different and I have to kind of change what I'm doing. You know, Oakland County has its set of rules. The state of Michigan has its set of rules. The federal government has its set of rules. Well, I'm left to figure that out with smart people, attorneys, and, you know, to make sure that I'm doing things by the letter of the law. So, you know, right now we've got the driving ranges open. You know,
really?
You don't have to come into either store. My ball machines are all automated. They take credit cards, exact change cash. You know, we've got the protocols. We wipe the pads down every half hour on the half hour. So I've got all the protocols in place. Outdoors, we're running curbside. But as I said, guys, curbside is, you know what? Yeah, it helps. But is it a tenth or a 20, you know, a 20th
right.
of the business I would do
right.
is if I was able to let people in my store, even if I have to, and I'm sure when that time comes, it isn't going to be like, okay, Carl, open the doors, and anybody that wants to come in, and as many as want to come in. I'm sure I'm probably going to have to count people in, and we're working on those things. I'm working on having scanners. I was in a Home Depot, and they've got you going in one entrance, and they click you in, and when you come out that other entrance, they're deleting you. So,
right.
you know, I'm a golf retailer. I'm not, you know, I'm learning to be a golf under these circumstances.
Retailer.
Yep.
Yeah, Carl.
It's not easy. It's not easy for not just me, but any business. I mean, I can't restaurants. I don't care what business you're in, unless you're making Clorox bleach or hand sanitizer, things are pretty different. And hopefully you're hanging in there. You know what I mean? Because we're hanging in there. We're going to be all right. Kyle's Golfland is on solid footing. But when we come out the backside or whatever that may be, then the one thing, we're going to be like, you know, could you imagine being General Motors or Ford? You know what I mean? Like, I have my woes. Well, shut down an auto company, you know. Think about it. I think I read in the paper, you know, that they burn about $130 million a day, I think is what they guesstimated. You know, could you imagine that?
No.
You know what I mean? And then trying to bring these plants back up. You know, think about it. Everybody in the world, to some degree, is dealing with circumstances that, like, well, I guess if there's comfort in numbers, we're all in this together. You know what I mean? But it's different times, no doubt about it.
Well, Carl Rose from Carl's Golfland, as a leader in the golf retail industry, we will be reaching back to you soon when we get more clarity of what's happening with the governor and when people can actually get into a Carl's Golfland in Plymouth or Bloomfield Hills and start testing clubs, start buying equipment, and, of course, when you can have one of your famous demo days. So, Carl, we'll look forward to reaching back to you and getting a whole bunch of golfers with new equipment and putting in better scores on all the rounds that are going to be played this year.
Can't wait. I'll be stopping in there next time I'm down.
Well,
sure.
Yep. Obviously, with the golf courses opening back up, guys, it makes perfect sense. You know, there aren't too many golf courses. An 18-hole is probably not sitting on 100 acres of land. And your golfers, it lends itself.
Yep.
The social distance. I'm so happy for the sport and for golfers. Should be okay.
Golf is going to be okay, Carl. And thanks for taking the time out to joining us on Finding Fairways. And we'll be in touch with you as soon as we have better news about opening up your golf shops.
I look forward to that, fellas. You be well, my friends. And nice talking
yep.
to you.
Nice talking with you, Carl.
Great
look forward to meeting you in person when I come down.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways. Finding Fairways. Kevin, you and I have been talking for a number of weeks about what I believe to be a huge opportunity that the PGA Tour missed by maybe only taking a couple of weeks off after the whole thing exploded. I mean, it looked like they were going to play the Players' Championship. They put in the first round. Everybody was there.
Right.
They were going to broom the folks off. It seemed like, you know, Rory McIlroy brought up some points. Every other sport had closed down, so the PGA Tour yanked the cord. Now, they're going to be back on the golf course in June, but I think they should have been back on the golf course mid-April. Augusta waited.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it was such a hard call for the commissioner. I mean, it was. I think there was so
a brand new commissioner. I think Fitchum would have moved faster, don't you?
Maybe, but there was so much uncertainty going on with what this virus was and how it was attacking people, and there was just so much unknown right now and uncertainty that I think he took the extreme conservative route. And I think they've been kind of playing those cards all the way through. You know, running a PGA Tour event with no fans is one thing, but you still have 300 to 400 people there between the TV crew, the volunteers to run these tournaments, and all the testing.
But they're still pretty isolated. I mean, you're going to have two or three camera guys on each hole. I mean, the way they're going to do this skins game this weekend,
right?
I mean, Mike Tirico is going to be watching from TV and commenting, and so is Azinger.
Right, right. This is going to be unique this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
I'm really going to be interested to watch how, by the way, it's going to be one of the coolest venues ever. We'll get to that in a sec. But anyways, this is going to be an interesting dynamic to watch, how it works with TV, with no spectators, how they're social distancing. I think that was the big thing is, how are they going to pull these events off social distancing-wise? How are they going to get the testing done? And what are they doing for the European Tour players? The big thing is these players have to come over and quarantine themselves for 2 weeks before they play. So they're trying to get all of that.
But there's plenty of guys on tour. I mean, my whole thought was, look, if Rory McIlroy is afraid of coronavirus, he never has to swing another club for as long as he lives. You've got these guys that just got off what's the other
tour? Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, the Corn Ferry. They change the name every year.
Right, exactly.
But they just earned their cards. Yeah. Hardworking kids out of college and everything else. So they want to play.
Right.
I
think the commissioner.
They're all independent contractors.
They are.
It's completely different than
Absolutely.
The NFL or anybody else.
Absolutely. But I think the commissioner's trying to be sensitive to everybody as much as he can. And I think that's what he's trying to do right now. And I think there's a bigger picture going on later in the year with how are these majors going to be run? And these Europeans have to come over for those. So there's a lot of things up in the air. They're even talking about doing private charter planes for the tour players.
I saw that. And then you brought up a great point when we were talking before about we're going to see this event. It's going to be a ton of fun. The TaylorMade Drive for the Cure.
TaylorMade Driving Relief.
The Driving Relief.
Yep.
You've got DJ and Rory versus
Ricky Fowler
and Matthew Wolff. Obviously, all four TaylorMade guys.
Right.
I would have liked to have seen Sergio, maybe somebody else, but I mean, he's European. You brought that up.
Right.
But they're playing on one of the most exclusive, mysterious and revered golf courses ever. You know, every once in a while you've had that question like, well, who could host an U.S. Open at the drop of a hat? And Seminole Hall's names always comes up.
Oh, absolutely. It's probably, you know, Donald Ross gets all his accolades from, you know, for two courses, and one is Pinehurst number 2, which obviously that gets all the accolades because it's open to the public, it's hosted at U.S. Opens. But Seminole is right there on its heels, and it's this very private mystique club right on the Atlantic Ocean in Jupiter. So it's and people haven't seen it, so it's going to be fun to watch that on TV.
Yeah, it really is. They host that Pro-Am down there. I think it's the week before. It's either the week before the Players or the week before Augusta that guys clamor to get into it.
Right, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and they don't win any money.
No, you get your name on the wall.
You get your name I think the winner gets like $25,000, but winning that plaque with a Seminole member is a pretty cool deal.
And Ricky Fowler has won that like 3 times. Rory McIlroy's dad's a member at Seminole.
That's crazy.
DJ's played it several times.
Sure.
Matthew Wolf's probably the lone wolf here who hasn't played it as many as those other guys. So it's going to be fun watching those guys play.
It'll be fun watching that. Hopefully I don't get freaked out by Matthew Wolff's swing. But the other thing you pointed out, with no fans on the golf course, you know, golf balls are fans save tour players bacon a whole bunch of times.
That's going to be fun.
So do the stanchions and everything else. So
there's going to be some shots that are going to be played that they've never played before.
Well, one of the reasons why Seminole allowed this to happen is because they won't have any stands there. They were never going to put any infrastructure on the golf course. You're going to have some cameramen following them around. This type of event and the Tiger and Phil one coming up next weekend, that you only need a three cameramen just following the group around.
Right. I even heard there might be drones in the air.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea, right?
It is. Yep.
But, so it's great to have real live golf action, although I know you've been watching, your History of the Masters.
I think I watched all the old Masters final rounds from the 80s, which was great. Even got to watch Dan Pohl, our other host here on the show, his close call in 82.
I haven't seen that, so you're going to have to show me how to dig that up because I would really like to see.
It was awesome.
Him and Stadler battling it out.
It was him and Stadler, and
one other guy finished, a really good player finished one out from that playoff, too.
I think it might have been Ballesteros.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to get me the link or that VCR tape or whatever it is.
No, it's on YouTube. It was great.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, and then you hook it up to Apple TV and watch it on your big screen right in the man cave there, Jerry.
Okay. I've got my man cave. I've got that technology. And then the PGA Tour itself is going to start up, June 11th down in Colonial?
Yep. Fort Worth, Colonial, and then they're on the road, and they're going to be in Michigan here. Right now, they're planning the Rocket Mortgage for July.
What is the date? I know you're looking at the schedule there. What's the date of the Memorial? Is that after the Rocket Mortgage?
Well,
because I heard Memorial is thinking about letting fans in the stands, and they're going to put bracelets on them to keep track of them and social distancing. That looks to be the first.
July 16th through the 19th.
That's what I heard is that Ohio is going to be, they believe, unless there's a turn in events, they're looking to have people at the memorial.
What are they, like shot collars?
No, they're just, they're like those eye watches, or Fitbits.
Got it. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. The marshals will have the access to the program and they'll just kind of break groups up. I mean, they're not going to let 25 or 35,000 people on the golf course. I think they're talking about 5,000-6,000. That's still meaningful money.
It is, and I was thinking too that maybe you don't let them in the practice rounds. Maybe you just open it up for the tournament itself. So I think there's some things that they have to do to just see what it's like to have fans in, because I still think that they need to have fans at the Ryder Cup. So they need to put some things or test
who
some
was
things
it?
Out.
A couple of the European pros have said, how can you have a Ryder Cup without fans, even if it is at the United States?
Right.
And talk about a course that's spread out all over the place. Whistling Straits seems to be. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
And Wisconsin isn't exactly a metropolitan area either.
No, but Wisconsin has been shut down just like as tough as Michigan has, and they haven't had nearly the same amount of cases. So I don't know all the criteria. I'm sure they want to have fans at the U.S. Open the week before. They're still going to hold it in New York, so that'll be interesting.
Well, in New Rochelle, right down the street, was the epicenter of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And that will be interesting if they still try to have fans there. If they can have fans there, no reason why they can't have them at the Ryder Cup.
Yep. No, but it's great to be talking about something positive, and we'll look forward to exploring the PGA Tour and all the goings-on each and every week here. So thanks for tuning in to Finding Fairways. Find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. And we will see you right back here next week.
Beautiful.